Already mentioned what a beautiful congregation this is, and I did tell him that when the church begins to fill up, my heart begins to fill up. So thankful to see every one of you. I don't really like to single people out, but I'm so glad to see K.K. Hughes here this morning. Sister Christine Alexander's great-granddaughter. She texted me back on December 15th, the anniversary of Aunt Christine's death. We communicated some by text message. And I don't know if I lifted her up, but she lifted me up. This morning, I too, as Brother Joe said, my heart is heavy. My Brother Jewel selected a song. My days are passing swiftly by. My journey soon will end. I seek a home beyond the sky. Eternity to spend. You know, last Sunday night up at Antioch, Brother Joseph Shiles was invited to preach there. Many of you were there. We thank God that you were. He gave us a good lesson on Solomon, the wise man Solomon. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he said, "To everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. And a time, purpose for everything under heaven." I may have misquoted that a little bit, but you get the idea. We're timely creatures. We miss that song sometimes where time won't matter anymore. Solomon told us there that, if I can remember thee this morning, this is a time to be born. It's a time to die. It's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. It's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to break down, there's a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get and a time to lose. There's a time to keep and a time to get. I may have misquoted that one. There's a time to rend and a time to sow. There's a time to speak and a time to keep silence. There's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time of war and a time of peace. Yeah, I mentioned texting KK some and trying to encourage each other. I've done the same thing with Sister Hannah Price, Moat Price. She don't know what an inspiration she is to me. There's things she's asked me to pray for her. And her next text message would say, "How can I pray for you?" That's been a little while back, and I told her, I said, "You know, I'm retired now, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm lost. Not eternally, but what I did for so long is gone." In the Psalms, it tells us to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want to finish strong. I've run some races before, not more than 10 kilometers. If I go further than that, I will have wheels of some kind. But I don't want to falter at the finish line. I want to keep pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, it says that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I don't know, probably those of you close to my age bracket, at some point in your life has had one of your parents tell you it's high time you do something. Brother Joe's shaking his head. You know, this morning, we had another little brother sitting over here with us during song service. Brother Connor was over there and showed me a good picture of a whale shark that he was drawing. But I venture to say he's listening too. I've seen it time and time again where these young ones that you don't think are paying attention, they'll ask you something after church about what you said. You know, but Brother Gordon came over here and said, son, come on back here to sit down. He said, but Mama said, I can sit here during song service. That carries a lot of weight, what Mama says. What is it high time that we do? You know, we're at different stages of life. Throughout this, we have some very young people in this congregation this morning, some that are a little further down the road. And it is so good to see Brother Dick and Sister Glenda Sue and their family here this morning. What is it high time that you do? You need to evaluate your life and see what is high time. I was talking to Brother Jason Frazier the other day, and he was talking about how Sister Alex and Sister Rachel will both graduate this May. Juju's in school too. Three in college at one time. But one's going to have a degree in pharmacy. One is going to be a nurse. That didn't come easy. It takes commitment. You know, in Hebrews, the very last verse of chapter 10 says, we are not among those who draw back unto perdition, but to those who believe unto the salvation of our soul. Remember the old Tom Petty song, you can stand me up at the gates of hell and I won't back down. Friends, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. This life is not easy. But it's high time that we be about the Master's business. It may be high time that you're baptized into the church. It may be high time that you commit more to prayer. Sometimes I fall so short in what I should do in praying. And if you don't have anything to pray for this morning, I can load your wagon this morning because my wagon is loaded. We mentioned so many in this congregation this morning that stand in need of our prayer. But let me tell you about a few more, if you will, for just a moment. And I want to get through today. I was just saying, I was talking about last time I come about bringing the 30-minute sermon. Sometimes Brother Joe and I have to communicate, so I know if he's going to be here or not. But, you know, sometimes I try to bring a 52-minute sermon, sometimes a 30-minute sermon. But regardless of how long I stand before you this morning, I want to give you something that would be a benefit to you and glorifying to the name is above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's high time. It's high time we do some things upon the earth, dear friends, because as Brother Richard, Brother, that song Brother Jill selected this morning, my days are passing swiftly by. They tell me the older you get, the faster time goes by. That's the experience I have in life. But, oh, it's high time we do some things. Not long ago, I conducted a funeral for Brother Ed Jones up in Lake, Mississippi, a dear brother that I worship with and I thank the world of. And he faced a lot of adversity in life, but I love that old brother. And at his funeral, I talked about some Edgarisms, some wisdom I gleaned from him when we were able to just sit down, just me and him, and talk, and I would be able to listen to him. He said, you know what, Brother Mickey, it's time that the people of the United States of America woke up and got down on their knees and began to pray. He told me that one time he was in school at Walnut Grove High School, the class of 1958. He said, you know, said there were some boys, some of my classmates gathered up in the bathroom to smoke. And he said, I went out around the building and the window was open a little bit. He said, I lit some firecrackers and threw them through the window of the bathroom. He said, Mr. W.C. Mills was the principal of the school, and he said he was on them boys like white on rice and whipped everyone in the bathroom. I said, later, Brother Ed, did you go back and tell Mr. Mills what you had done? He said, no, sir. Sure didn't you? Sometimes when we realize the wrong one got whipped, dear friends, we need it ought to motivate us to live for His glory and honor while we're upon the earth. But when they went to the cross of Calvary, they had whipped the wrong one. I've told you before, many times in the school, I've administered corporal punishment to children. It wasn't a pleasant time. But not once did I have the knock on my door and say, let me take the paddling for my little brother. Let me take the paddling for that student. Sometimes they didn't know it. They probably would have. There's some that would have, I can assure you. But Jesus Christ took that for us. But it's high time. The next verse says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The day is far spent. You know, there's another time in Scripture, the day was far spent. And that's when, that's on the road to Emmaus, which was 70 furlongs northwest of Jerusalem. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile. You can do the math. It's about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And you know, as though this was after the resurrection, they were walking along there, walking along sad. And this stranger, so to speak, walked up beside them and said, why is it that you walk and your countenance is so sad? He said, you must be a stranger in Jerusalem. Have you not heard what they've done to the one they call the Christ? And he began, the Bible says he began to expound from Moses and preach to them Jesus Christ. And they asked him, said, come abide with us. And he sat down at the meal table with them. And they began to break bread. And as they realized who he was, Jesus Christ vanished out of their sight. They had just told him, come abide with us. The day is far spent. It's too late for you to be out on the road. Sometimes that's a difficult thing for us parents and grandparents when we have our loved ones, our children and grandchildren out on the road after dark, late at night. You want them to, the Lord to bless them to get from point A to point B safely, dear friends. But you know what? They were telling Jesus Christ, it's too late. It's too late. The day is far spent. But what did he say after he vanished out of their sight? It's just from that hour they went back to Jerusalem. And they had a story to tell, didn't they? And this morning you have a story to tell, dear friends. I can tell you there's a lot of things that are weighing heavily on my soul right now. In this personal world, when your children are facing adversity, and loved ones are facing adversity, and you can't, it's out of your power to correct the situation. That's a terrible feeling in the world. But I point you to one this morning, Brother Joe, who can, who is well able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But this morning, I think about these things. I was at a graveside service yesterday for a lady. She had 4 sons. I taught all 4 and coached 1 in baseball. And the minister was there, talked about Nicodemus. He said, when Nicodemus asked about being born again, about being saved, the Lord told him, said, you must be born again. And he was confused about that thing. He said, how can I enter into my mother's womb the second time? And this preacher mentioned yesterday, friends, as much as we would like it, there is no rewind button. There is no replay button. I fantasize sometimes and spend time thinking about how I would love to have somebody could invent a time machine. I don't care how that costs a good bit of money. I would still pay some money to go back. I'd love to go back, Sister Eudora, to a meeting that was right across the way, right over there. I'd like to go back to whatever day that Brother Melvin was ordained in the church. I'd love to go back to that day and worship. I wasn't there. I wasn't even born yet. But there's things we think about. This morning I think about these things. Yesterday at that graveside service, there's some people around Brookhaven think I work for the funeral home because I'm in the cemetery so much, and then they're in their funeral homes up there. But I don't. I just have some people I love, and I want to pay tribute to them when they leave the scenes of this life, and the loved ones that they leave behind. But he said, I said, Mr. Darnell, I've had a lot of funerals lately, haven't you? I said, seem like every time I go down the road, I see a blue tent or a green tent in almost every cemetery I pass. And I know for every one of those funeral tents, there's somebody that's grieving about that situation. He told me, yeah, he said, some of our people are on the way to Texas to get an 11-year-old boy who passed away from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's high time we get involved into people's lives in this world, dear friends. Turn off our TVs and call somebody. Go see somebody.
Forget about COVID. I'm not wearing a mask anymore. I'm done with masks. I'm done with staying away from the assembly and people, places that I need to go and want to go and need to be there. You know, there's a teacher up at Newton County Elementary School back in August. They lost a 7-year-old student, a classmate of Brother Bowen Brunson I get to worship with up there, a little bitty fella. She was 7 years old, died of leukemia. The week before last, I got a message from up there. They got a second grade teacher, three kids from first grade to sixth grade. Stage 4 cancer. Going to MD Anderson Tuesday. Last weekend, dear brother up in Antioch told me about his sister's friend. They live in Petaluma, Mississippi. He's 46 years old. 17-year-old daughter and triplets that are 12. He had a heart attack and is in grave condition right now. Yesterday, I've asked for prayer for my wife's brother-in-law, who's been in the hospital in Jackson, UMMC, since August 23rd, battling COVID. He drew his last breath upon the earth yesterday. One precious daughter that works at UMMC, and she's been there every day. She's had visitation rights because she's employed there. But she's carrying a heavy load this morning. But His grace is sufficient. But there was so much I was going to talk about this morning. Brother Joe, you don't apologize, brother. You don't apologize at all. I'm not going to keep you here too long. But you know, there's some people in Scripture, we don't even know who their names are. All those Samaritans. Samaritan leper, I don't know his name. Samaritan woman at the well, we don't know her name. The Good Samaritan, we don't know his name. The little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes that the Lord used to feed the multitude, we don't know his name. That precious woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years and was so weak she could barely move. But she followed through the multitude just knowing that I can just touch the border of his garment. The Bible said she had spent all that she had been to many physicians, and she wasn't better, she was worse. But she knew that I can just touch the border of his garment. I pray one day I can touch the border of his garment. I pray one day I can, are you talking about a time to embrace? When I see my Savior, it's going to be a time to embrace. When I feel His precious arms around me. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. There's many in Scripture. I got so much on my mind this morning, but you know, some that aren't very well known in Scripture. You remember the name of a man by the name of Bezaleel? Go read about Bezaleel. I'd forgotten who he was. The Lord didn't. The Bible says that nevertheless the foundation of God said that you're having to seal the Lord. What? Knoweth them that are His. Bezaleel is the one that built the ark. You know, there were three ark builders in Scripture. We know Noah pretty good. We hear about him a lot, don't we? But Bezaleel built the ark of the covenant. Him and the man by the name of Aholiab. Go read in Exodus chapter 35, 36, 37 about these men. And the talents, the special calling that they had. You know, not long ago at church, sometimes I carry on too much foolishness. I understand that. But if I ever say something that may you think may be offensive, you can understand I didn't mean it. Or if I did mean it, you come talk to me about it. But, you know, not long ago here at this church, I was talking about all the blessed children we've had in this church with the great intelligence that they've had and the academic performance they had, you know, their honor graduates. And I remember Brother Dick picked at me about over his house the other day and said, yes, and you called Brother Russell out. You know, you said, for him, it's an honor to graduate. Let me tell you something. Brother Russell Laird, as my daddy said, he's forgotten more about a lot of things than I'll ever know. Bezaleel took pride in what he did. Go read about that Ark of the Covenant that he built. I told Brother Russell one time, I said, Brother, you know too much. Because Sister Doris and Sister Sharon had him on speed dial. But one of the last things you can have happen is your oven go out when it's meeting time. Their instruction was, call Russell. Brother Russell had a calling. But you read about Bezaleel and Aholiab. Oh, they had a calling. That Ark of the Covenant was a special thing. You know, there's another lady built an ark one time. A woman by the name of Jochebed. The mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. They built an ark. Because the Pharaoh was killing, you know, what about Shiphrah and Puah, those midwives? They were instructed, said if it's with these Hebrew children, if it's a male child, you kill it at birth. Let me tell you something, it's high time we do. it's high time we get behind this abortion effort. Amen is right. We talk about the streets of Chicago and these big inner cities and all the homicides that take place there. You know, right now in the United States of America, the most unsafe place to be is in the womb of the mother. Should be the safest place. It's high time we woke up out of our sleep. Try to make a difference while we're on the earth, friends. But this was not mentioned Jochebed. Now I'll close this morning. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. She built an ark too, didn't she? She built a little ark to put her child in, her son. You talk about faith. That Nile River is a terrible waterway. There's major cataracts on there. There's crocodiles and alligators. And she put her little boy into that ark. About the time that the Pharaoh's daughter was coming out to bathe, she had compassion upon that baby. Named him Moses because she drew him up out of the water. But by doing what Jochebed did, it seems like a little thing, doesn't it? There are no little things in our service to our God. But she spared her son. Because of Miriam's actions, from that point to age 7, she got to had the wonderful privilege of being a mama, a stay-at-home mom. What a blessing. What a blessing. But, you know, the third thing we got to look in that is she got paid to do it. She got paid to do it. I think about the countless hours that mamas spend for their children. It seemed like my mom never got tired. When she told us it was high time we got something done, it was we better address it. High time means it already should have been done. But we just now getting around to it or making it a priority. This morning, I want you, when you leave here, what is it high time that you need to do? Maybe you'll share it with me later. Just one, maybe a little. I'm going to tell you what, it's high time. I've been to Sister Frances Jones. It's high time. It's past time. But Lord, would I be see her this week? And what's sad, she won't see me. She may hear me right now, but she'll know who it is by my voice, though. There was so much this morning on my mind. And I don't know if I got to any of it, but what is it high time that you do? My days are passing swiftly by. I think about these from the Scriptures. They seem like such minimal characters who did so little, in a sense, but what they did changed the world. If those midwives had killed Moses, he's the prince of Egypt. You know, I love what Moses did, though. The Bible says from age 7 to age 40, he was skilled and very learned in the ways of the Egyptians, mighty in word and deed. He knew everything about Egyptian culture. He knew about the pharaohs and all those pyramids and so forth. But the Bible says when he was a full 40 years of age, it entered into his heart to return to his people, the children of Israel. Hebrews chapter 11 says, you know, that generally we don't do that way. Generally we don't go from the palace to the wilderness. Give me my choice, I'll take the palace. But we need the wilderness. We need the wilderness. It's high time that we do things. I'm thankful I don't have to try to help populate heaven. That's secure. But what I want to do, I trust with the remaining days I have. And David says, a step between me and death. What I want to do is be a source of encouragement to you. Because you've been such a blessing to me. May God bless you is our prayer this morning.